Mound the Oho. Mound the Oho. It will be translated in the course of the story. My grandmother really didn't like me hanging around Mr. Sam Welling in the yard, but I did it anyway. He was an old poet who lived next door to Abuelita and me. For some reason, she didn't like him. She said he was crazy, but us guys all loved him. He was the only grown-up in the neighborhood who treated us like friends, not kids. That way, me and Papa Flores and Mando Padilla, we were working with him in his big birdhouse. He called it a hotel for our little friends. Friends, huffed Grandma when I told her, those birds eat my garden. They leave the nasty white spots. First that mad Armenian feeds them, and now he houses them. He just loco. She sounded genuinely agitated. It's just birds, Abuelita, I pointed out. You have no idea the damage they do. Like that crazy Armenian, they are a menace. What could I say? Okay. I warn you, Nito, avoid that Armenian. He is peligroso.
Dangerous?
He reads all those books. Oh, I said. Abuelita prided herself on being plain spoken. My father once said to me, your grandmother not only calls a spade a spade, she calls a lot of other things spades, too. She did not like the poet much since that first day when he moved into our neighborhood and she'd asked if he wasn't an Armenian. He said no, his parents had been Armenian, but he was an American, born and raised in Fresno. That answer displeased Abuelita, who always identified people by nationalities, or her version of nationalities, anyway. Mr. Sam Whitten, in response, had asked what nationality she was, and like always, my grandma said, Spanish. Spanish, he did. What part of Spain are you from? Abuelita really didn't like that, the words or the grin, since she, like me, had been born in Bakersfield. My people were from Spain, she spat. Funny, as my mom told me, our family came from Mexico. Fue pagado en la misma moneda, Abuelita had mumbled after that encounter. But I didn't understand what she meant. Something about paying in the same money. My father was a gringo. He hadn't let Mama use much Spanish around me before they got divorced, I mean. And I had come live with my grandma, so Mom could go to L.A. and find a good job. Anyway, me and Flaco and Mondo were working on the hotel that next afternoon while Mr. Samuelian was at the library. We were finishing it up, really, when a big, shiny car scooted into the dirt driveway of our yard. Since our neighbor owned only a bicycle, I'd never seen an automobile there. A husky man who favored Mr. Sam Whitten, a real suntan, like he worked outside all the time, he swung from the door. He had the same burst of white hair and the same hook of a nose. His eyebrows were black and he had a ferocious black mustache. One of his eyes was covered by a dark patch. Hello, my lads, he called. Where is Sarkis Sam Whitten? He went to the library, I answered. Always reading, he will destroy his vision yet. And who are you, young men? I'm Gilbert, I live next door. Gilbert Sullivan. This is Flaco and Mondo. Well, young gentlemen, I am Hank Samuelian, brother of Sarkis Samuelian. And what do you work on? Oh, just this birdhouse, Mondo answered. Be careful with those tools, my lad. See this? He tugged at the patch that covered his eye. A stray screwdriver can put your eye out. Oh, I said involuntarily. I'd heard all my life about the various implements that I put an eye out. But this was my first time with someone to whom it had actually happened. Before I could inquire further, the poet returned toting a load of books. Ah, he called, my brother visits. Why aren't you in Fresno counting raisins? Oh, only a fool counts raisins and ignores his grapes, responded the one-eyed man, and he hugged Mr. Samuelian. I've been commiserating with your associates here. Oh, grinned our neighbor, these young scamps. They're doing a fine job with the book at the birdhouse, though, aren't they? Come on in, okay? Let's have coffee. How's Aaron? Where's Malik's son now? And Dorothy, still a dancer? They disappeared into the house. As soon as they were gone, Flaco said, that guy, I think he got his, you know what, poke eye. We enlivened the remainder of the afternoon discussing his poke eye. I wonder what's left. I wonder if it's just a hole there, said Rondo. Maybe it's all dried up by Mrs. Lopez's dried up old hand, Flaco suggested. Grossissimo is the word we embedded, so we giggle together. Maybe it's like a place where you should get boil on your brother Bruno's neck, I told Mondo. Ooh, grossissimo. Before we went home that night, Eggstein went in and planted us each a bag of pomegranates. These are from Fresno, my lads, he said. They're the finest in the world. Gee, thanks. I took mine to Grandma, but she would not touch them. You got these from that Armenian carata? Even his mal de ojo? That a buy. I noticed that she said in Spanish wasn't clear to me. Evil eye, Nito, the evil eye. Evil eye? Abuelito, that's just Mr. Sam Williams' brother. Yes, another of those Armenians. And he got his eye poked out by a screwdriver. You are young, she told me. You do not understand. You haven't seen behind that mask. You do not understand the realm of evil. The realm of evil? She stopped me and gazed directly at me. If you ever look deeply into un mal de ojo, you will see hell itself. Crater broke, she thought. Okay, I said, okay. And don't be working outside in the sun with those two criados. Why? It will make you dark like a cholo. You must wear a hat and look like a cholo. That's the name the guys at school call all the new kids, mostly Indians who just come from Mexico. Hey, I wanted to be dark like him, so I wouldn't be different from the other kids in my class at Our Lady of Guadalupe School. I was the only Sullivan amidst the Martinez's and Gonzalez's and Jimenez's. I'll tell you a secret. One day when Abuelito wasn't home, they put black shoe polish on my hair, but it looked real filthy. I had a heck of a time washing it out before she got back. Anyways, the morning after our cholo talk, I couldn't wait to go dash outside into the sunlight and slip over to my neighbor's yard and maybe steal a glance behind that patch. A large car was still there, but its owner wasn't in sight, so I helped Mr. Sam William water his weeds. Then he busied himself beside his labored birds. Great unconquered wilderness just calling and calling me while speaking of peas. Before long, the man with a hole in his face emerged from the small house and began picking and sampling ripe plums from a tree in an overgrown yard. These are wonderful, almost as good as Fresno, he said. After a moment, his tone deepened. But you see those sharp stakes, sharpest cars? Beware of them. My eye, he said heavily, pulling at his back. I gulped. Later that day, me and Mondo and Plato were erecting a bird hotel. When this mean kid named David Avila, who had chased us home from school more than once, he swaggered up and stood on the dirt border between the yard and the pitted stoop. A week before, he caught me and gave me a Dutch rub and a pink belly, too. He especially liked to pound my pale skin because it turned red so easily. Avila, he looked like a large brown toad. He had real biceps and the beginnings of a mustache. Only a year ahead of us at Our Lady of Guadalupe School, he was already a teenager. Anyways, the big toad, he kind of studied us, sneered, then hollered, hey, little pendejo, I can't wait for those birds. I got me a BB gun and I'll kill them all. And maybe I'll shoot you three little pendejos too. Just wait. No, you wait, young criminal. I heard a shout and Mr. Sam Williams' brother dashed from the plum tree's foliage. In a moment, he had the bully by the neck and was shaking him with one hand while he thrust an open wallet into his face with the other. You see this badge, he demanded. I'll have you in jail for years if you bring a BB gun around here. Do you understand? You see this patch? A BB gun. I took a BB gun again. The bully had wilted quickly under Higgs and went in storm and once released scurried away. Scalawag, the one-eyed man shouted after him. Scoundrel! He continued fuming and recurring with his fierce mustache twitching. I can have him jailed. He thrust his wallet toward us and displayed a small badge that said, friend of the Fresno County Sheriff's Department. Ah, hey, Mr. Sam Wayne emerged from the tea patch, impounded in front of us. Ever the crusader, hey. BB gun, said Hey, Sam Wayne, and he spit vehemently on the ground and jerked his patch momentarily. Come, said Mr. Sam Wayne, let me give you a glass of tea, hey. And they entered the small house. I bet it's a glass eye that that patch is what's fitting on. I tried looking under while he was picking plums, but I couldn't see nothing. I need to feel a bloody hole. With worms, maybe. With big worms. Grossissimo, of course, my pals. I joined Grandma talking to our other neighbor, Mrs. Alcala, when I returned home for dinner. She said, Esperanza, Esperanza, you didn't actually eat the pomegranates that Lupo gave you. Of course, smiled Mrs. Alcala. Who was Flaco's grandmother. They were delicious. He's not a brutal groupie. He's just another Sanfilippo. A gentleman, but very enthusiastic. Enthusiastic and very friendly, having Mrs. Alcala. Two of those Armenians now are very good. Both of them local. Mrs. Alcala was smirking when she added, the Sam Williams aren't the only locals in this neighborhood. And what is that supposed to mean, Esperanza? Oh, nothing, replied the old woman, grinning as she hobbled away on two canes. Hasta la vista, Lupe. That long, warm evening, the Sam Williams brothers sat in wooden lawn chairs talking, and after Grandma freed me from chores, I wandered over to listen. That was the day I fought Dick Randazibi in the Terror. Remember, Sarkis? I fought him for an hour and 15 minutes nonstop, the longest, fiercest battle in the history of Fresno. We fought all the way up Vanis Avenue to Blackstone. Then we fought for a mile down Blackstone. Our sweat flowed through the gutters. Police stood back in awe to watch such a battle. Businesses closed. Priests held crosses to their hearts. Doctors averted their eyes. Strong women prayed. Strong men fainted. Who won? Who won? I asked breathlessly. Who won? He paused. Then one of his brothers twisted his mustache and tugged his patch. I'll tell you who won. You see this eye? He pointed at the cloth covering his empty socket. The evil Dicker and the Zibium tried to gouge it out in the middle of Blackstone Avenue in Fresno 40 years ago. But another pause, another twitch, another tug. He regrets it to this day because I knew a secret. Never use more when less will do. Never use two when one will do. I had saved my final strength, and with it I threw the ruthless Nazivian from me and broke everything on him that could be broken. I broke several things that couldn't be broken. He never fought again, did he, Sarkis? And not that I remember, smiled Mr. Nelson. He never bullied anyone. Not that I remember. Nazivian the Terror was finished, Hank said, money and nodded with finality, pulling absent at his patch. Gouged his eye out, I mumbled as I wandered home. I told my pals at the Great Fresno Fight the next day at school, too eager to hurry back in the afternoon and hear more of Mr. Sam Williams' brother. On our way, however, while discussing the vast pit that had been gouged in Hank Sam Williams' face by the evil Nazivian, and hoping at last to catch a glimpse of his depths, we spied David Avila striding toward us. Oh, no. We immediately began sprinting, each in a different direction, in the hope the bully might be confused.